child? Like, you know, if they don't verbally say something, mm-hmm. is there something in their behavior that could potentially say, hey, something's off here, right?
Well, if a children says, I don't want to go with so-and-so, like, and you can see the fear in them, they kiss, I don't want to be with them, I don't want to be mm-hmm. alone with them, that's usually a cue something is going on.
It's an indication.
It's an indication.
Yeah.
Right. If you have a child that maybe, you know, used to dress kind of conservatively, but all of a sudden now they're asking for, like, you know, little hoochie-coochie kind of outfits and mm-hmm. things like that, were very much an extrovert and now they're an introvert, or the other way around, mm-hmm. grades, you know, they made great grades in school, now it's declined, or the opposite. Behaviors, all of a sudden, maybe your child used to have eye contact with you,
right?
And you're the my mom, mm-hmm. and we used to have this great rapport and eye contact, and now I do everything I can do to avoid you, the mom.
And yeah, and that's another thing. It's like, parents, we need to really pay attention mm-hmm. and really focus and understand the language.
Exactly.
The non-speaking language.
Right.
The silent language. Mm-hmm. Like, and really just focus on, you know, simple changes. Like right. you said, eye contact, if it's closed or what have you. Mm-hmm. But we really need to pay attention, because sometimes, you know, we may have a bad child, but sometimes you can't let that be your main focus, because they may be trying to tell you something.
Well, exactly. And if you have a child that behaved really well in school, and now all of a sudden they're acting
exactly.
out in school, they're like yeah. squirming around all the time, they can't sit still and jumping up and down. Yes, there's other reasons that could be. However, what about that conversation?
Yes.
And you can't have that conversation, did someone touch you? What
yes.
does that mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does it, you know, you have to have the real conversation.
And say the real words.
And say the real words.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And yeah. you can't say, does someone make you feel uncomfortable? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Wow. And so getting on to the help, right? So how do we help the victims? What are you, Tina, what are you also doing in the community to I get the public advocacy component, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is speaking your stories, which is very, very powerful.
Right.
And I hope for our listeners today, they're really getting this message.
Yeah.
Again, you can call us at 813-239-9663. But what else can you do other than public advocacy? Or what else are you doing other than that?
Prevention.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And the conversation has to be had.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're out with your girlfriends, which I've done plenty of times. And I've bought up tough conversations
mm-hmm.
because
yes.
we're women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, we talk a lot as it is. I mean, AKA
right.
myself, I do talk a lot. But,
no,
you know,
no
we love you, Tina.
Whatever. But we have to really just have these conversations, because everyone, the biggest way to get word out is someone else saying it. So that's like, you know, back in the days, they used to say that's the biggest form of advertising. Tell
right.
someone that will tell someone
mm-hmm.
that will tell someone. So I say today, just talk about it. Speak about it. Don't write about it. Just have that raw, real conversations with your girlfriends,
mm-hmm.
boyfriends, husband, or all the above, what have you. Have the conversation.
But you have to have it with the kids.
Right. And
we
early.
Have to start with the kids. We have to start with our boys,
yeah,
and
oh,
have conversations
mm-hmm.
about what it is to be a gentleman. We have to start with our girls. What is it to be a lady?
Yes.
You know, I can remember going through charm school, finishing school, and all those things, and having those conversations. But we also have to have real conversations of, these are things that can happen. This is what it looks like. This is what a pimp looks like. The different kinds that there are. What are the recruiters? What are the runners? What is it like when you are 14 years old and your boyfriend is 24 years old? What does that really mean?
Right.
And not like, it's not that he doesn't care about you, but what are you being asked to do? Real difficult conversations
mm-hmm.
with our children, with people that are experts, to be able to do that kind of a prevention program, but also parents.
Parents, definitely.
You've got to talk to
parents
your children.
Have to be proactive, and you do need to talk to them honestly from an early age.
Yes.
I remember my son asked me at age 4 where babies came from,
exactly.
and I told him honest.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't a seagull, is that, or what it is? What are the bird?
Stork.
There
the stork.
You go.
Yeah,
see,
you got
that wrong.
The stork.
I know it was one of them
Ooh.
Birds.
Right. And we need schools.
There's a pigeon.
Oh,
right.
Well, schools. I don't
we
know if that's going
to
happen yet.
I mean, it's starting. There's a lot of conversation. Can't really go there right now with it. But we have been pushing for years to get into schools and have these very difficult conversations, because having conversations about abstinence, Uh-huh. And I, again, nothing against religion or whatever,
yeah.
mm-hmm. But it's not working.
It's not reality.
Well, because here's the thing. Abstinence is about having intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are doing a lot of other things than just having traditional intercourse.
Yes.
This is true.
And you can still be trafficked. You can still be prostituted
yeah.
using other body parts.
Yeah, you can't cover the sun with your hand.
Yeah, because I have survivors that are still virgins.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
Because there's other orifices
yeah.
on your body.
You're right.
This
you're
whole right. thing, I'm just cringing at the thought that this is all happening and that you went through
thing.
That. I'm so sorry
reality.
You went through that. But I am very, very happy that you came out on the other end
thank
so empowered
right. yes,
and that you're here
you.
Having this conversation with mm-hmm. us today on the air.
And
thank you to you, Tina, for
thank
bringing
you
her.
Thank you for your courage.
Yeah, definitely.
And sharing your courage because that gives other people hope.
Exactly.
And they are saying now that human trafficking is the 21st century slavery is mm-hmm. now compared to that. So it's huge. Mm-hmm. And Florida is number 3.
Yeah. And I want to talk some more statistics. For example, I think it's very important what Connie was mentioning that these, what's going on with the spa parlor down in Martin County where there were Chinese nationals who came here legally. With visas. But in reality, it's a form of indentured servitude, right?
Exactly.
And so, I'm bringing you in the country legally, so you owe me X,
exactly.
Y, Z, right?
And that is exactly what is happening.
That's good.
So when we have folks that are coming from another country, that is exactly what is happening. But let's just talk about the little girl that lives up somewhere in Wyoming in the back plains, right? Mm-hmm. Has never been exposed to anything. And she meets someone on social media that says, come to Florida, to the beautiful Sunshine State.
Right.
And here I can get you into modeling.
Mm-hmm.
I can get you in to be a singer, mm-hmm. an actress, like whatever it is that your dream is. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just that they're legal. They were born here. Mm-hmm. They're an American mm-hmm. citizen. Mm-hmm. And the women in the massage parlors were international.
And I think that brings up we talked a little bit about brainwashing earlier, right?
Uh-huh.
So can you talk a little bit more about that mental aspect and the mental abuse portion of this and how they indoctrinate these victims. Tell us a little bit more about that from your own personal experience.
And it really depends on the situation, you know, and so I'm just going to go back to our girl from Wyoming for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meet someone, she wants to be an actress and a model, you know. Well, Florida's great to be a model, right? Comes here with that understanding that that's what she's going to do, and before you know it, it's this grooming process. It's about, you know, I really, really like you, and I brought you here because I think that you're beautiful and I'm in love with you, and then before you know it, they're having sex, and then the girl, I'm going to just use a girl as an example, is thinking, oh my God, he's like so in love with me, and then the first thing that he starts to say is, well, I have this great agent, but for you to meet that agent, you know, and for him to really promote you, he has to see the true you, and the true you is you have to have sex with him,
mm-hmm.
and baby, I only promise this one time. And then he'll get to know you. And then before you know it, you're in this whole process, right, or in this environment because you have a dream. Who doesn't have a dream? It's not to be prostituted, but who doesn't have a dream?
Mm-hmm.
And then before you know it, you're in something you don't know how to get out of. But more importantly, the agent and the person that brought you there, I'm going to just call him the recruiter, okay, now are having conversations with you. Who else is going to want you? Look, you are now damaged goods. What will your parents say if I send the pictures of you of the things that you have been doing?
Wow.
Because would you want anybody to see pictures of you having sex?
Yeah. So now that's there's true. Blackmail happening.
Blackmail.
Yeah.
Coercion.
Coercion, yep.
Shame. Mm-hmm. Blame. Mm. Guilt.
Wow. And so, I mean, do you feel, in your opinion, that the way society has changed with social media is it's becoming even more prevalent in people, because people are, and we've talked about this before, like trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like in the case of social mm-hmm. media, trying to keep up with mm-hmm. the social media Joneses, like I want to be an influencer or something like mm-hmm. that, right? So you think that also has a lot to do with it?
I'm not so sure about being an influencer more than social media has a lot to do with it. Because think about it, on social media, you can meet anyone from around the world. People post pictures. How do you know that's really that person?
Right. Yeah.
And that's something that we are having a lot of problems with. You know, there are folks.
I think they say catfish, I think.
Yeah, it's
like
called
that.
Catfish,
oh,
right.
Yeah.
And so they'll post a picture of like this young, really nice looking guy, you know, and then he starts coming on to like a young girl, right, or another person. And then they create like this relationship. But once you have your initial interaction, it still might be that person. They're just the front person.
Yeah.
But the real person that you've really been interacting with is someone that there is no way you probably even take a second look at, and they're very demonstrative. But here's the thing, let's talk about this. Being demonstrative and controlling does not mean that you have to be this big muscle person.
Right.
You would be amazed at some of the folks that are out trafficking.
Wow.
That are pimps, that are recruiters, that you'd be like, what? They're like this little bitty person. Because mind games does not take physical strength.
And looks are deceiving.
100%. And I don't mean to compare, but like, look at Adolf Hitler, right? Like a very non-imposing figure.
Yeah,
but
right.
through his oratory, he was able to literally influence an entire nation, right?
Exactly.
So,
same
but this thing. Is on a minor scale, right? So,
right.
Yeah. But
this is on a major scale. No,
well,
this is not on a minor scale.
I mean,
no
way. Sorry. What I meant to say is, like, you know, we don't have these pimps controlling entire nations, but they're controlling victims, right? So through their gab and their oratory and their mind games. So that's absolutely insane to me. And so let's go back, Tina. You've been talking about how Florida is the number three state, right? So what are some of the circumstances that lead to that, you know? And
well, I mean, it pretty much everything Connie just stated, everything kind of leads to that. You know, again, the conversation, being an advocate, having the, you know, fundraisers that we do, you know, with the organizations. It's like, it's all of what Connie has pretty much has announced and just, you know, informed us all. All of those are indications and information that you kind of have to pay attention to. But I'm so glad that you touched on, you know, the conversation or like just the mental control issue a lot of times, because, you know, we don't realize how powerful our mind is. We have two ears for a reason, because we really have to focus and pay attention to what we hear, because that's translation to your mind.
Right.
And your mind is like an antenna. It's only going to do exactly what you hear or what you speak. That's why I say life and death is in the power of a tongue. There's reasons for these things being out there. So it's like, you know, it's so important for, again, me talking with my girlfriends, because I know they have girls, I know they have young boys. I'm going to have those conversations. But, you know, with you, you're more around, like, you know, the verse, you know, the children and, you know, adults and so forth. So you have that conversation. But the conversation has to be had, and you have to be bold and speak the words as though they are. Because once they get control of your mind, it's done.
Right. It's very difficult. And let's just talk, why is Florida the top three?
Yeah, there you go.
So it really depends. There's the National Human Trafficking Hotline number. So it depends on the calls that come in. It depends on the bust, the operations, the stings, or whatever that happen. But let's look at Florida as a whole. Florida as a whole is the Sunshine State.
Yes.
You know, it's beautiful. Look at all the different ports of entries that we have. Okay, let's look at all the different sports franchise that we have. Let's look at all the ports of calls that we have. If it's snowing up north somewhere, sometimes it's tough to still be out on the street, but you can sure come to Florida and work 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. But more importantly is we have such an influx of folks that come here on a daily basis for fun and sun. It's like what happens in Florida stays in Florida.
And spring break, that's a lot of indications of how these individuals go on a prowl.
Exactly.
Because sun break, you know,
spring break,
you know, or, you know, all the little vacation times that the, you know, the schools have, and majority of them come to Florida.
Right.
So we have to pay attention to it, because there's, you know, individuals out there looking for that young girl or that young boy or what have you.
Yeah, so. I tell my friends about spring break. Like, spring break in Florida is 2 months long.
Right, exactly. You know? Because you get everybody
we get all the other spring breaks. Not everybody has spring break the same right. week, right?
Exactly.
And so right. People in Iowa, Ohio, New York, right. Pennsylvania, whatever, they come down here during their spring break. So right. So by instance, here in Clearwater or something like that, I don't go to Clearwater for like 3 months out of right. the year because I just try to avoid it, right?
Well, so. And I will tell you that the incline of what happens during spring break, it does escalate. Because a lot of times, what will happen is, folks, you know, young folks will meet someone on social media. Mm. Hey, come on down to like Florida during spring break. Mm-hmm. This cool party's going on. You can come stay at the party mm-hmm. house and whatever. And nobody's really checking it out. Parents aren't really checking it out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, young people are coming down. And before you know it, they're into something that they don't know how to get out of and thought Good they were point. Just coming to party.
Well,
you are awesome, Connie. You Thank are you. Freaking awesome. Yeah, I love her.
It's fantastic. And so you're listening to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5. And we're here with Connie Rose, a transformational speaker, but way so much more than that. You really are. And so when we're going to go to another break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the organization of Victims to Survivors mm-hmm. and how, if you would like to get involved, and what you are listeners can do to stop the perpetuation of this horrible, horrible practice of childhood prostitution, sexual abuse, and so forth. And so thank you.
Previously on the Urban Cafe.
I think the difference now and the difference in the past is in the past, if you look back, people didn't care. People were willing to do whatever needed to be done. I mean, when we look at what happened during the Civil Rights Movement, those people went out there with their whole heart. I think we're too soft-hearted today.
I agree.
We're not willing to live and die like our ancestors did. We're not willing to live and die for what we say we believe in. We make fun of people like, I'm not going to say make fun of, we tear apart, we rip apart people like Colin Kaepernick and say, oh, he didn't really lose anything. Bull crap, that guy lost a bunch. And, you know, but he was willing to lose everything that he had worked for. Yes. He financially might be okay, but that's not the point. The career that he had spent his whole life building is no more. And for people to minimize that aspect of his movement just really runs me up the flagpole. We're too soft-hearted. Americans yeah. have become too complacent and okay with the stuff that happens.
Dave Alvin and Jimmy Dale Gilmore are two great roots artists.
Well, I know. I've been fooling myself too long.
Alvin is the singer, songwriter, and guitarist who is one of the founders of the Blasters. Gilmore is the hard-scrabble Texas songwriter, best known as a member of the hippie country pioneer band The Flatlanders.
Soon I think I'm gonna go downtown.
Now the two longtime friends have decided to come together for a fascinating roots music excavation that merges Delta blues, Western swing, and early rock and roll.
Well, I'm a wild blues blaster looking to find what can be found.
Dave Alvin, Jimmy Dale Gilmore, and the Guilty Ones will play Skipper's Smokehouse on Thursday, April 11th.
This is Roman of the Urban Cafe, and I would like to take this time to thank those of you who have called into our show in the past. Now remember that we welcome your voice, and it's better to call earlier than later to ensure that your voice is heard. The number is 813-239-9663. We would love to hear from you.
Still collecting records and CDs? Well, it's almost here, folks, and it only happens once a year. WMNF's big record and CD sale. Throughout the year, the station receives records and CDs donated from our kind listeners. And then for five glorious hours, a huge sale goes down. WMNF's big record and CD sale. It all happens on Saturday, April 27th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the WMNF building, located at 1210 East Martin Luther King Boulevard.
WMNF can be everywhere you are. Get your free WMNF app in the Apple or Android store. 4 channels, plus playlists, archives, news and events, donate, and more. Or tell your smart speaker to play WMNF.
Play WMNF now.
Thanks for listening to 88.5 FM WMNF, the last local radio.
The last local radio.
Welcome back.
Yeah, man, how you doing?
You good?
I know you like that.
Yeah. Hey, Josh, sing for us, Josh.
Bienvenido. So you're listening to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5, your last local community radio station. And we are having a very serious but amazing and wonderful conversation here with Connie Rose and Tina and Claire in the studio here this morning, talking about sexual abuse, prostitution, victims of prostitution, I should say, right? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to shout out some statistics. There's an organization called RAIN, Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. It's a not-for-profit, and they put out some statistics here based on the National Sexual Assault Hotline. And this one is kind of really, really struck me. One out of every 6 American women has been the victim of an attempted or completed rape in her lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's just absolutely insane to me. And so ages 12 to 34 are the highest risk years for rape and sexual assault. Mm-hmm. It goes right along with Connie's life timeline of when you were abused and groomed, so to speak. This victims of sexual assault go all the ranges, right? Even people older than 65, they can be victims.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or not can be, they are victims.
Yeah.
And so, 82% of all juvenile victims are female, 90% of adult rape victims are female.
Mm-hmm.
Females ages 16 to 19 are 4 times more likely than the general population to be victims of rape, attempted rape, or sexual assault.
Right.
And I think it's amazing. For example, here this morning, maybe Tina has said it before, but I don't recall her telling me that she was a victim.
Yeah, I don't speak on it. Yeah.
And so you don't know. You really literally don't know. You
could
be in a room with 6 women, and one of them, there's a high likelihood that one of them, at a minimum,
more likely, more than
I was
going to
say it's the opposite. Out of 6 women, one of them was not.
Exactly. One of them was not. Okay.
Exactly.
That's a good way to look
at it. So that's something I think for all people, other females, but more importantly, other primarily males, and Joe's over here nodding his head in agreement, we need to be cognizant of this fact, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to be cognizant that, the women in our lives or women that we interact with, they could have been victims of assault, of sexual abuse, and we need to be very conscious of that.
And pay attention. To the sensitivities of
Correct.
Certain things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, and not to be I was gonna go to the neighbor aspect of it, right? The children in your neighborhood and so mm-hmm. forth, right? And so not to be a nosy neighbor and like peering through the window, but look, get to know your neighbors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Find out what's going on. For example, what comes to my mind when I was living in Ohio, in Cleveland, the gentleman had 3 women tied down in his basement for years.
Right.
And none of his neighbors knew, because none of his neighbors took the time to try to figure out what was going on.
The neighbors did see them.
Got it.
Yes, there was a few times that one of the girls was outside, like in the backyard.
One of the girls, But they had no clue of the other
two. But they had no clue what was really going on.
And they had children, too, I believe.
Yeah, they had children.
And so,
2 of them had children by him.
It's crazy, man.
But here's the thing, you talked about dudes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So your dudes, okay?
Yeah.
Your
gents,
your significant other comes forward, because here's the thing about trauma, and we've witnessed this in the last couple of years. A lot of times you suppress the trauma, what has happened, and now here you are later in life. You are now in a relationship. You are now having children. I know when my daughter turned 12, I almost had a breakdown. Because that's when things changed so drastically. And then again, when I was 14. Be mindful.
Yeah.
Walk alongside them in the journey. Because if you come from your damaged goods now, and they already feel that way.
Mm. And to bring that up, because that's, again, I get it. Because mm-hmm. when it kind of hit me, I actually went into a coma after I had my child.
Wow.
So when I came out of my coma, I had to learn how to walk, talk, and all that stuff.
Right.
But it hits you, and you don't know how to do anything.
Right.
You know? So
exactly.
It does hit you.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm flabbergasted here. Let's talk about the organization Victims to Survivors. Mm-hmm. And so what is the organization? What is their mission statement? And how do they help the community?
So Victims to Survivors is an offshoot because I actually have a consulting company, Connie Rose Consulting. So that's the broader aspect of what I do. I do a lot of speaking and training and consulting for organizations, moving beyond the Me Too movement, like getting us past that, having really difficult conversations.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
No, we didn't, no. And Victims to Survivors is really about me just working with survivors more one-on-one, teaching them how to be speakers, teaching them how to sit in here and do a radio show. How do you do a media interview?
Mm-hmm.
You want to do a TEDx? How are you really ready?
Mm-hmm.
So it's about walking along survivors to give them a very strong voice. So what we are starting to roll into is that a lot of the women that I work with do not have employability skills. You know, a lot of survivors of sex trafficking maybe still have a record and we can't get it expunged.
Okay.
Maybe they had a job before, but quite honestly, because of all the trauma, they don't remember. So what we are starting to do is going out into the community and seeing who can we partner with for trades and start teaching and giving survivors trade skills instead of having to worry about going to college and all that. Become a blue-collar worker.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? So that's really what our mission and our goal is. But our feeding factor for victims to survivors is really what I do on the training, consulting, and speaking arena under Connie Rose Consulting.
Okay, excellent.
And you can find me on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, she's all over the place.
I'm all over the place.
Because
we're revamping everything as far as the websites are concerned. So you can just go on Facebook and go victims with VICTIMS, the number 2, survivors, breaking the silence, and our Facebook page will pop up.
Okay, and we're going to give a shout-out on our own Facebook page for that. Claire is holding that down. Thank you, Claire.
Repeat that again,
so
please.
So it's victims, VICTIMS, the number 2, survivors.
Okay.
And then it's breaking the silence, one voice at a time.
It's all one thing.
It should all come up that way.
Carry the
on
one, cross the T, dot the I.
Breaking. I keep adding
so
the
Tina,
space.
Tina, I know you wanted to.
Yeah, I just wanted to put out there real quick because some people know that I'm a dockhead. I love documentaries, but I think this
dockhead. I'm a dockhead.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's me. But there's a documentary out there, and I think this was like in 2002 on WEDU about Too Close to Home.
2012.
Yes. Okay, and it's a great documentary, but it really does enlighten you on a lot of things. How close it can be that you are seeing, well, maybe not seeing, but it's a great documentary for people to kind of check out. So, but
and
it's
really
Too
powerful.
Close to Home.
Yes, it's called Too Close to Home. So you just can do WEDU/Too Close to Home or do WEDU/Human Trafficking and it will pop up. And so there are 3 survivors, I am one of them, that are sharing our stories. There are several organizations that are being featured, as well as law enforcement, attorneys. And then if you go on their website, there are to tell you like where you can go, what you can do, signs to look for. Mm-hmm. And then each one of us, there's about a 45-minute video that's just focused on each one of us. So it's very, very powerful.
Yeah.
They did an incredible job.
Incredible.
And don't forget that this happens to young boys, too.
Exactly.
We're talking a lot about the girls, but the guys are just as much in danger.
Right. And people have asked me, why boys? Like, why are we now having this conversation? Because let's think about men. Let's think about boys. What are you told growing up? Be strong. Oh. Don't cry. Don't tell anyone because they're going to think that you are weak.
Mm-hmm.
So men, right, boys, they grow up being silent.
Right.
And also they grow up with, well, so if someone hit me or someone did something to me, what? Maybe I did something to deserve it.
Right.
And now they're starting to come forward because we have some very strong survivors. Right, started with us women, right?
Well,
and then some of the guys have jumped on board.
Everything starts with the women.
Right, and some of the guys have jumped on board, and they are powerful. And there's an organization called malesurvivors.org. Incredible organization for men.
Good.
Incredible.
Good.
And what's your take on what's going on with the Catholic Church and all the, all the victim abuse that's been going on there.
I grew up in the Catholic Church.
Okay, yeah. So it hits home, huh?
It hits home. It's sad. It's sad because, again, it is a whole nother.
It really definitely could be.
It needs its own.
But from your personal perspective, like, I mean, it, you know, I view it a little bit as a, like a kind of, one, it's appalling, and,
yes.
and two, the hypocrisy of it all, right? And so, mm-hmm. I mean, what's your take?
Same thing. It's appalling to me because I remember going to my priest and telling him particularly what was going on. I also, just going to just go to the side for a minute. I also remember going to the priest and telling them that I had to have an abortion because we did. It was my father's child and he wanted to adopt it. And the priest then coming on to me because it was basically like, well, you've already done this, so I don't have to do all the other stuff I've done before. And quite honestly, I remember being in shock because, you know, I grew up in the Catholic Church.
Another protector?
Another protector. Right.
You keep
also, they're
safe.
Up there preaching about, not, like, you know, mm-hmm. you're not supposed
safety.
To have sex before you get married, mm-hmm. infidelity, like all these other things. And I'm like going, what?
Exactly.
And I didn't really totally get that he was really hitting on me.
Wow.
I just remember saying to myself, I came to him to get help, and he wants to be with me.
Yep.
And that's, you know, kids are vulnerable.
Yeah.
And they want someone to believe in them. They mm-hmm. want someone to look up to. They want someone to say, you're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're an altar boy. Oh, you're doing a great job as an altar boy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, and all these people are watching you and seeing you, and you're serving God, and you're being a servant.
Mm-hmm. So the praise, the build up, right?
Yeah, it's the praise, the build up, but also about you're serving God.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful message.
Yeah,
for
it
sure.
is a very powerful message. It's sad.
Wow.
It saddens me. But here's the thing. I want everyone to remember, it's not just the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that right now is being focused on.
Churches.
Yeah, but every religion has something, and we have to be mindful of that.
Yes, and that's for all the parishioners out there. Again, mm-hmm. just be conscious, be on the lookout, you know, and so...
And your children come and say, the priest wants to do X, Y, and Z, or says something, you need to pay attention.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, we have a comment on our Facebook. Let me try and move this so I can read it. From Leslie Farrell, asking, how can we help stop trafficking or help survivors? Is there a local organization? Well, we have been posting a few of the local organizations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
if you look up Connie Rose and see her mm-hmm. TED Talk or her Facebook,
or
you'll get some more
course.
Links. Or the Gentleman's Course. You'll find more ways to help deal with the situation, help support
and
getting involved, really, that's a big thing.
And there's also this organization, RAIN, which
yes,
I mentioned
RAIN
earlier.
As well.
They have an 800 number,
huge.
800-656-HOPE, which is 4673. And so that's an assault hotline that
right.
victims can call.
Oh, reach out to me. You can reach out to me on Facebook or send mm-hmm. me a private message if you want. It's Connie A. Rose. And we can talk about what your passion is. How do you want to help? How would you possibly fit in to working with an organization? And if I can help show you another organization, take and make that connection, that would be my honor to do that.
Okay.
Take the first step, definitely.
Yes.
And so, Connie, it's been a real pleasure talking to you today. I knew this was going to be a powerful conversation
mm-hmm.
From the moment.
And there's so much more that can be said.
And there's much more, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, we didn't talk about the links to the Me Too movement, the empowerment that's happening
there. Well, we'll
there.
Just have to have her come back.
Yeah, I think we'll have to have a follow-up session on the Me Too about the clergy sex abuse scandal.
Right, exactly.
And all these other things that are happening in our society. Maybe we'll have some more outcomes about what's going on in Martin County by that point.
Yes.
And so we'll have to definitely have you back. It's been a real pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you, Connie.
You.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thank you, Tina, for bringing her in.
I just came here to do what I do.
Yeah. Thank you, Christopher King.
Yeah.
But Tina also shares some very intimate personal stories as well, and we thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I don't mind sharing.
We appreciate
Trust
it.
Trust me. I'll tell you.
All right. So with that being said, again, Connie Rose, Empowering Resiliency, a transformational speaker, victim of sexual abuse when she was a child by her own father. But she has come out on the other side like the phoenix.
Thank you.
So I applaud you.
Oh, I like that.
That's good.
So,
yeah, that's good.
And with that being said, we're going to jump to our final break of the day. And when we come back, we're going to have Natalia Andrea here, recording artist. And she is going to tell us about her journey to becoming a singer. And we got Tina here to talk about.
I'm the backup singer.
You're the backup singer. And so... That's too funny.
I've never heard Tina sing. I'm not sure about this.
We're going to have...
Now, Josh can sing, but he's better in Spanish than in English.
So we'll have the Urban Cafe's version of the Supremes will be here. And so let's jump to this break. And again, applause to Connie. Thank you so much for your time here this morning. We appreciate it. And you're listening to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5.
WMNF's record and CD sale. Amazing deals. Don't miss out. Snag the album of your dreams at a way cheap price. This sale will blow your mind. Most CDs and LPs will be priced at $2.
All purchases are as is and are final. Parking is limited. Carpooling and alternative transportation is suggested.
WMNF's big record and CD sale. Saturday, April 27th. Be there.
Last week on the Urban Cafe.
Do you, as grown-up people, think that it's important for kids and for teenagers to be politically involved and to be aware of the political atmosphere, even though they are too young to vote?
Okay, who's gonna go first?
I'll go first on that one. I mean, I 100%. I grew up in Puerto Rico, and in Puerto Rico, and in the United States, they say the national pastime is baseball, even though NFL is probably more popular. But in Puerto Rico, the saying is national pastime is politics. So when at a very young age, you're aware, even though you can't vote, you're aware of what's going on. You're aware of, you know, Puerto Rico's Commonwealth status, of how we got there, of, you know, who's the senators, who are the representatives, who are the mayors. And it's very important, you know. It's kind of a double-edged sword because you become informed, but at the same time, you tend to lean towards what your parents teach you, right? Yeah. So in the United States, if your parents are Republican, you'll tend to lean Republican, and likewise Democrat or independent accordingly. And so, but long story short, I do believe there definitely needs to be involvement.
Absolutely. And it's too bad that they cut out the civics education in education systems, because that's where we learned about government. Mm-hmm. We learned about the first time we learned about, other than our home family, we learned about voting and why it's important. And I think that's kind of gotten lost in our country. We don't know. People of all ages, like not just the youth, but even 30 and 40 year olds don't vote because they don't know how important it is. They don't realize that it affects them. And so get out there. Even if you don't understand all of the issues, get there and say something.
Yeah, I think it's important for you to be aware of it, but not to be too involved in it. Because we know as politics and just as adults, it can be a lot. So sometimes we need to allow the children to be aware and be educated and knowledgeable about certain things. But we want you to stay a child as well. So that's where, you know, sometimes us adults, we need to kind of, you know, have that balance and create just somewhat of an understanding and bring that awareness to you to let you know the power that you do have once you're able to handle all of that information, because it can be a lot.
But I have to digress a little bit on that opinion. I mean, I do agree there is children need to be children, but for example, what's happening in Parkland, I think it's time for a change. I think we've given the adults 200 years, and it's been 200 years of not getting stuff done right. And so, and the children, for example, you know, I what they're doing with Parkland, that movement, youth voter registration, you know, trying to get a little bit, talking about gun laws, you know, it's a separate conversation. I'm not going to go there, but I believe in what they're doing, and I believe that now is the right time to get them involved.
So many of you donated during WMNF's Winter Pledge Drive, and we thank you. It's not too late to give. Please call 813-238-8001 during the weekdays. Or you can call us in the studios at 813-239-9663. Or give online at WMNF.org. And thank you.
Welcome.
Oh, yeah, man. How you doing? Come on, you good?
I know you like that.
I know you like that.
Come on, Josh. Sing
Don't do that.
I like his singing, and then he dances too. Oh, well, let's hear you sing it.
Tina's always suppressing my dreams.
Come on, Tina, you
dreams.
Sing it. Welcome back.
So, welcome back to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5. And we just had a wonderful conversation with Connie Rose. It's just fantastic conversation. Mm-hmm. But we're going to lighten it up a little bit here. And we're going to talk about this young lady, Natalia Andrea from Cali, Colombia. Here, she is an aspiring recording artist who is going to talk to us about her journey from Colombia to Tampa to becoming a recording artist. To and we're even going to play her song as we wrap up the show today, her latest song here. And so, Natalia, welcome to the Urban Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, yes! It's great to have you. And so, tell us a little bit about what inspired you to become a singer.
Ooh, I can say so much about that. I knew that I wanted to be a singer since I was 9 years old. I grew up with a lot of music in my family. Just, we love music in my family, mm-hmm. and I was exposed to a lot of different artists. The very first person to ever actually inspire me was Shakira, because, like you mentioned earlier, I'm from Cali, Colombia.
Yeah.
And Shakira is
the number one export.
Yes. She's very dear to my heart. And she was the very first artist that I was exposed to when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And that I just really loved and just adored. And so she was the very first person to inspire me, but I knew by the time I was about 9 years old. And it was just like, I grew up just listening to a lot of really cool music. I was exposed to like pop and pop rock and mm-hmm. a lot of Disney Channel artists that, you know, back in the day, that was kind of my thing. So I knew from a really young age that I wanted to be a singer, especially watching like movies and like watching people performing on TV. I knew just from watching them perform, I was like, man, that is so cool. I would love to be in that stage. Like, I would love to be doing what they're doing. So I was just really inspired, and I knew like instantly from watching people.
And what age did you move to the United States?
I moved to the United States when I was about 6 years old. So it was a couple of years after, like, I had already been living in the U.S. for a few years.
Okay, hence the Disney, what was it called? The Disney...
Disney Channel.
So Justin Timberlake came out of that, Christina Aguilera came out of that, Britney,
Demi
I think.
Lovato,
yeah.
too.
Demi Lovato, yeah. Britney, they all came from mm-hmm. the Disney Channel. So, yeah, so I can definitely see that inspiration. Mm-hmm. And so what does that look like? How do you go from this, okay, I'm a child, I love to sing, I'm inspired by singing, I'm inspired by singers like Shakira, mm-hmm. and how do you go from there to making it actually work?
Well, over the years, I remember the very first time that my mom bought me my very first karaoke machine. I fell in love with singing, and that was around the time when I was 9 as well. So I started singing back then, and I started buying CDs, and I had my little collection of songs that I really liked, and I would just sing them in my room all the time, you know, with the little hairbrush in front of the mirror. It was a lot of fun.
I did that too.
It's a fun time. And just over the years, I started learning more about music, so I started learning about some instruments. I started playing piano. I started playing the clarinet. I was a band student in like middle, high school, even college.
Okay.
I sang in choirs. I sang in musicals. And I was really like eager to just be on the stage. So I was participating in every talent show that I could possibly find in school or just in the area. And so I have a few more years of like experience now because of that. Like, I have put myself out there and I've started mm-hmm. performing, and it's always a lot of fun. I love doing it. And then it really got more real for me when I started making YouTube videos. Back when I was in high school, I started making YouTube videos. And then recently last year, I actually recorded my very first single. I wrote it and recorded it at Clear Track Studios. I actually want to give a shout out really quick, because today is the Spencer Bradham's birthday. He is the producer that worked with me on my song Miracle that you guys are going to hear later today. Today is his birthday, so I just want to wish you a happy birthday, Spencer. Really grateful to you, and hopefully you're listening in, and just have an awesome day, man. You are fantastic.
Hey, I wasn't saying happy birthday fun, but this is about you. It's about you.
Yes, yes.
we'll get you to sing later, Tina.
So yeah, I wrote the song Miracle last year, but I've written songs over the years just since I was about a teenager, since I was like maybe 14. I started writing, and I would just write anytime I would have some sort of thought or intense feeling that I just needed to get out. So writing is actually, it's very therapeutic for me. Mm-hmm. I love doing it. It's a lot like journaling. I just jot all of my thoughts down. A lot of the times I'm not even thinking about, like, what do I want this song to be like? I'm just like, what do I need to get off my chest right now? What do I need to, like, let out? And so that's what I do. That's how I write, and that's how I was able to write my song Miracle last year, which was actually a huge, huge turning point for me. That song is something that I want to talk more about because it really means a lot to me.
Okay. And before we get to that, I wanted to ask you, so, like any great artist or any, for example, any mm-hmm. great... sports athlete, they hone their skills, right? And they hours and hours of just going at it. So what does that look like for you? What does your quote unquote training look like, you know, musically? Mm-hmm. You know, like, so, you know, what do you spend the most time on?
Ooh. Well, I spent a lot of time singing just for fun. Anytime I'm like in the shower, in my car, at home, just, you know, just doing anything, I'll start singing, playing music. So I sing a lot of times. Oftentimes I'll even like find myself singing at work. It's just it's a natural love for me. I love singing. But I want to say what's really the most important thing, it's crucial, and this goes for everybody, no matter what career you're in, is doing the inner work on yourself. So when I talk about that, like, I mean, like, actually, like, making sure that you are in a good state of mind, you are vibrating positive energy, and that you are actually focused on staying on track mm-hmm. and achieving your goals. And you can't do that if you're in a down mindset. You have to be in an up mindset. So positivity, a lot of inner work is crucial. And I was actually really dedicated to this last year. When I was in the whole recording process, I actually hired a life coach that worked with me last year.
I was going to ask you, like, who, mm-hmm. does somebody serve as your guide?
Yes, definitely. So I had a life coach that I worked with last year. His name is Andrew C. Bailey. He worked with me for about 7 months, and he taught me so much. But in that time frame that we worked together, I was able to accomplished so many things that I had always wanted to do, but I was always so afraid to do it. But he helped me get there because he helped me to stay on track.
And, like, give me an example of something that he helped you specifically focus on.
Okay. Well, last year I auditioned for a lot of different shows. So I auditioned for The Voice. I auditioned for American Idol. I auditioned for America's Got Talent. And I even entered a lot of different songwriting competitions. One of the ones that I'm really proud of is actually the International Songwriting Competition. I entered that last year and I became a semifinalist. So that's something that
Bravo.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
good.
Thank you. Hand praise. Yes.
Very impressive.
That's good.
Yeah, that's something that I'm very proud of because it's just this huge honor. Wow. They had about 19,000 entries and only the 10% made it in the semifinals. So just to be in that top 10%, that's a huge honor for me. And that's also like a reminder of, yes, I'm doing what it is that I'm meant to be mm-hmm. doing.
There's if my song is a vindication of the decision you made.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Good for you. And so, and we will talk about Miracle and a little bit of the backstory mm-hmm. before we play it. But before we get to that, I do want to talk about, like, say, like, the business side, right? So have you addressed that side? And we have Tina here, who's a very empowering entrepreneur.
Oh,
and so and so what has been that experience? Because you're very young, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, what
yes,
has
we are.
That
Tina,
yes,
quit
you
jumping
are.
On that bandwagon.
What has that experience been like?
Well, as an entrepreneur and an independent artist, you have to be willing to invest in yourself. That's the number one thing for me. Mm-hmm. I like anytime I question whether or not I should spend my money on like a promotion or an ad or like just even studio time, I always have to question, okay, why am I doing this? Because I am willing to invest in myself. Entrepreneurs are investors. Mm-hmm. We put our money and our effort into the things that we are passionate about, and that's how our careers flourish. That's how our careers actually take off, because you're willing to invest in yourself and you're actually gifting yourself with something that you can literally just do all on your own. Mm-hmm. You're gifting yourself with that.
That's
well said.
And very well said. Very mature.
Very,
yeah. Tina, do you have any tips for her?
Oh my gosh. Well, shoot, she's going to give me some tips. No, I just think that
Oh, he's fixing my mic. Oh, was it too close to my mouth?
Okay. Sorry about that.
Sorry. No, one of the things that I just commend you about is that when I was reading your some of your information, one of the things you mentioned was that you realized you needed to get out of your way. And a lot of times, people don't realize that that's your one thing that's holding you back is you yourself. Mm-hmm. So with the inner search and the inner realization and coming to truth with yourself, mm-hmm. really everything is lying in you because you're stopping yourself a lot of times. So tell me, what was, like, how did you get to that point of, okay, fear is no longer going to be a factor. Let me follow my dreams. Ooh. And get out the way.
That's probably my favorite question so far. Yeah, thank you so much for bringing that up. I can definitely say a lot about that too. Last year, when I wrote my song Miracle, I was going through a transition phase where I had lived a life just driven by fear. I had been holding myself back for a really long time because, you know, I would, I talked a bit about making YouTube videos earlier. I would make YouTube videos, and then because I was so, like, hard on myself, I would actually take them down.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so it was a lot of just fear of exposure, fear of judgment, fear of, like, what if I'm not good enough? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was so crucial for me to get a life coach last year, because he actually brought that, like, that energy that I needed. He exposed me to who I really need to be in order to thrive in the music industry.
Wow.
And so I just made a decision, no more fear, let's just go on forward.
How did you find a life coach?
No, I'm only kidding.
No. You had something, you don't just pick them out of the phone book or something, but had something very specific in mind you wanted to work on.
Yes, I actually have to thank my mom for this, because a series of events occurred last year that led to that. She actually had a free ticket that she gave to me so that I could attend a seminar. So I went to Unleash the Power Within by Tony Robbins. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I was there last year. It was actually about a year ago. It's our year anniversary now. So, you know, happy anniversary to the, you know, firewalkers out there. I attended that seminar, and it brought me to, like, this whole new level of energy. And then from there, I joined a group on Facebook where a bunch of people that attended the seminar, we would all just share our experiences. And then I started getting a lot of connections and a lot of attention from people that also attended. So a lot of friend requests. And then amongst those friend requests, I saw the friend request from Andrew C. Bailey, my coach. He had been posting a lot of stuff in that group, and we had been interacting, and I thought that he was, like, a really cool guy. So I was happy to add him on my Facebook feed. And he would always post daily just a lot of motivational stuff. And I actually did a free live coaching with him on Facebook. And then from that moment, I was like, wow, like, this guy is really cool. So I reached out and I asked him, hey, can you give me some information about your program? I'm really interested in being coached. And he gave me the info, and after a little bit of back and forth, we made it happen, and he became my life coach that way.
Fantastic. Yeah. I just commend you. You are freaking awesome, man. I love it.
Sweet. Thank you.
Because it's so true. You're just evidence that, you know, sometimes we have to look for help. Mm-hmm. We can't do it all. You know, sometimes we have to search and just look for someone to help us, because you have your dream. You have the passion for it. It's just you needed a little help.
Exactly.
And many people don't do that. That's why I'm just so honored, and I'm just so proud of you that you did that.
Thank you.
And we're the same age. I love it.
Thank you.
And from your perspective, what else is on the horizon then? Like, how do you move forward from this point after you've created your first song?
Right. Moving forward, my focus is on songwriting. So I want to continue to write more songs so that I can go back into the studio, record more music, put music out there. I would actually really like to release an EP next. I don't want to do singles anymore. I just want to release an actual collection of songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm doing. Yes.
Just
yes,
do it.
Mm-hmm. That is the plan. I'm just going to keep working, and, you know, the plan is to continue investing in myself, continue writing, find a time to go in and record once I'm ready, once I have all the material that I need, and to just keep promoting and, you know, just, like, keep sharing and keep posting on social media. I want more people to hear about me. So I need to actually, you know, a lot of that fear of, like, exposure, I need to keep exposing myself in order to actually get that momentum going still.
Yeah. I listened to, is it called NASA? One of your singles, one of your songs? Well, you have this intro, or is it called Nice? I don't know. I don't remember which, what the title of it was, but the intro of it was really cool, because it was like a NASA, you know, indication of, like, takeoff, basically. And, okay, was I listening to the wrong person or something? I don't know. I don't know what the title was, because it was with the link. It was with the link. But I thought it was so cool.
We're not sure what you were listening to, Tina.
That was David Bowie, actually.
I dig it. Oh, yeah. Was it? Oh, dang it. My bad.
But we will be listening to a miracle here as when we wrap up the show here. In about 2 minutes, we're going to wrap up the conversation so we can play your song. And so all of our listeners will be able to listen to it. But I do have a question. So I love the fact that you got a plan. Those are your next steps. You live here locally in Tampa, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So how have you found, have there been any limitations? I know, like, people who want to become country singers go to Nashville, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's this whole thing. Like, have you found any limitations with living in Tampa to possibly becoming a recording artist?
Yes, actually, now that you mention it, I've been thinking a lot about moving because I want to live in a city where there's a lot of just different opportunities for, like, gigs and booking performances and just being able to work with different music, you know, music people. So I would like to do that at some point. I would like to actually move to either maybe LA or Nashville, Tennessee, just so that I can be in a more musical environment where there's more opportunities for people like me. Mm-hmm. It's not that there aren't opportunities here. It's just that it's very limited. So, yes.
It's kind of like, you know, who you know or, you know, what your connections are, and if those connections are primarily in places like Nashville, then that will be the case, or LA, so to speak, right? So that's fantastic, though, that you have this game plan and you're headed towards that. And so give a shout out your YouTube channel.
My YouTube channel, you guys can find it. It's youtube.com/natiguetto. That's spelled NatiGuetto. You can also look me up as Natalia Andrea Music.
Okay, excellent. And so, were you one of the victims of the MySpace issue by any chance?
No.
Okay. So, for those of you, our listeners, MySpace actually, they had an issue when they transferred some servers, and they lost like 16 million songs or something like that.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah,
did not hear that.
Lost for forever, and so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think one of my singles was lost.
Yeah, so the one, the takeoff one by Tina Hollywood.
That one.
Okay. And so, that's pretty funny. And so, you've been listening to the Urban Cafe. Here we have Natalia Andrea, and we are going to be playing her song Miracle to wrap up the show today. A little different closing than we typically have. And so, for our listeners out there, I just want to thank you for tuning in this morning to the Urban Cafe, WMNF 88.5. Thank you to Claire for being here, holding down the Facebook.
Thank you, Josh. It's always a pleasure to work with you.
The same. And thank you to Tina. And
you're welcome.
And thank you to Joe. And also thank you to our previous guest, Connie Rose, for a wonderful conversation.
Someday we're going to get Joe to talk again.
Maybe one day. You've been listening to the Urban Cafe. That's-